Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the ageless wisdom. And before we begin, I want to give credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and all of the dialogue that you'll hear on this show is based on the works of Alice Bailey. This thought comes from a book by Natalie Banks, who was a very serious student of Alice Bailey. It's from her book, The Golden Thread. The constant reappearance of the ageless wisdom handed down from remote times has been compared in symbol to a golden thread, a spiritual lifeline waxing and waning in clarity from century to century. Before we begin, I want to just repeat something that we ended on during the last show, and we did a previous show on the ageless wisdom, and that thought was, or that question was, had to do with an esoteric thought. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And my question was to you, Sarah, how does that relate to the ageless wisdom?
We were talking about how the ageless wisdom is hidden. It's not trotted out for public consumption, and that relates to the familiar statement that you've just made about the student being ready and then the teacher appears. The ageless wisdom has always been available to humanity in a form that was appropriate for the particular period, but going back to the dawn of human evolution, that this body of spiritual truth has always been present on Earth, but one has to search it out. And that is because coming upon it prematurely would be useless. The person wouldn't appreciate the teaching for what it really is, any more than a small child would appreciate a strand of pearls above a set of plastic toys. You have to have inner resources to be able to respond to the significance of the ageless wisdom. And this preparation of the student we were talking about last time, we commented on the statement in the book The Perennial Philosophy by Aldous Huxley that only those who have chosen to fulfill certain conditions, making themselves loving, pure in heart, and poor in spirit, are ready for the ageless wisdom. And I think that's true. We have to be somewhat purified in our consciousness and in our character and in our behavior before we can begin to respond to this inner doctrine of teaching that is present in all the world's religions. It's found in the mythologies of the different cultural traditions. It's even found in science. And one of the interesting things today is that modern science is becoming, I think, more etheric, you could say, less materially focused. One of the interesting things about the recent period of the last century, or perhaps the last two centuries, is that human resources were devoted almost totally on perfecting life on the physical plane. Matters of hygiene, understanding the known visible world, travel, all of this is the glory of the human mind, but it also focused us on the physical plane. And the ageless wisdom has to do with another level of reality altogether, the subjective underlying realm that stands behind outer manifestation. It's that invisible conditioning level of reality with a capital R, that the ageless wisdom says stands behind the outer world of form and personality. So with human evolution having been focused on the material level of life, we were not so responsive to the ageless wisdom, but I think even science is pointing toward a more subjective or etheric level of knowledge now, don't you think?
Well, sure. I mean, especially with nuclear physics, and we're exploring the inner core of the atom, and that's all at the etheric level. Mm-hmm. So, yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm. And what is interesting is that all of this outer paraphernalia of life is representative of and symbolic of the inner reality if we know how to learn to read the signs and symbols of the outer world. All of this can teach us something, but we mustn't mistake it for the real significance of life that lies behind the outer world. Why we have to deal with this physical, tangible world is one of the great mysteries, but apparently it has to do with the bringing together of spirit and matter. The redemption of the world, speaking of the physical world, comes about only through the human mind's awakening to the inner spiritual significance of this outer world. So we need both, but we need to learn how to read our outer world for its real significance. And this is what the ageless wisdom points to. And we talked last time about one of the core doctrines of the ageless wisdom being the idea of the one behind the whole incredible diversity of manifestation. There is one. And this concept goes way back in human history. I think it was the Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten that first registered this realization that the source of life is one, and that everything derives from this one.
Yes, it was related to the sun god, and he was the first and that probably really introduced that idea of oneness, but it only lasted as long as his lifetime, and as soon as he departed from the scene, then his followers went back to their old ways again. So it's just the way the ageless wisdom waxes and wanes, because it depends so much on the people and where their consciousness lies at the moment.
I think it's something that you have to awaken to through faith, and also through cultivating a kind of a habit of mind and spirit of looking for this essential underlying oneness within all of the manifestation that you encounter, and specifically within all the human beings that you encounter. Try looking at a crowd of people the next time you're in a mass of people whom you don't know, and remembering that all of us derive from one God, one source, one creator, whatever you want to call it. And then take that realization and extend it to the whole visible physical world. Animals, vegetables, minerals, the whole outer world of manifestation is a veil, a blind for an essential one reality that is working out through this myriad of forms for purposes that are beyond, I think, most of our minds to grasp. But with this premise, we make our start in understanding the ageless wisdom. Another essential point about the ageless wisdom is that it has to do with personal experience and validation. We're not just talking about the study of theory and doctrine or of spiritual texts or scriptures. It can start with that, but ultimately it has to work its way into an experience. And this is why I think Pythagoras, whom we talked about in our last program, required that his students undergo 2 years of silence before he would teach them anything. Not because they misused speech, that's one possibility, but I think more importantly that cultivating that outer silence made them turn to their inner resources through meditation and reflection and contemplation. And that's where you begin to open up the experience of, direct experience of this reality we're talking about.
Is direct experience of the soul, and that was the the focus of Pythagoras's, or at least that aspect of his the religious training in, that they received in his school. Yeah, so it's bringing through the soul energies and the realization of the soul that eventually, as he says, enables one to escape from the wheel of birth.
And it's not only a matter of discovering that one has a soul and is an eternal being or immortal being beyond the physical body, but it is through this realization of the soul that we find our connection to this one. And this is an essential concept of the Hindu religion that I find so fascinating. The Sanskrit formula, that art thou, defines this realization. That meaning this reality, this one that we are talking about, that art thou. There is within each human being some atomic fragment of this one that exists within all of us, and awakening to that divine principle, which is at the core of our being, is, I think, the whole purpose of the Ageless Wisdom teaching. That art thou. The Atman, or the immanent eternal self, is one with Brahman, according to Hinduism. And Brahman is the absolute principle of all existence. So the human being and the divine creative force are, in essence, one.
And it's that that seed that lies within each one of us, of course, that's the golden thread.
Mm-hmm.
And the thread unwinds from that little point of light that's contained within each human being.
That's very good. You tied up that loose end really neatly.
With my golden thread.
Yes.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is the Ageless Wisdom, and we started our show with a quote from a book, the title of which was The Golden Thread by Natalie Banks, a very serious student about the works of Alice Bailey. And in that book, you'll be able to explore that particular, our topic for today, a lot further. You can really scratch the surface of the Ageless Wisdom if you would read The Golden Thread, and we'll be happy to make it available for you. It's a 52-page book. It's an introduction and an overview of the Ageless Wisdom, which is the topic of our show today. It's available from Lucis Publishing Company for $8, and that includes shipping and handling. You can send your check or money order for $8 to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you'd like to order by phone and you'd like to use your credit card, call the Lucis Publishing Company. And the phone number is 212-292-0606. Call during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. And once again, that phone number is 212-292-0606. And I might mention, too, that all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations could be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And we would like to explore this topic a little bit further on the Ageless Wisdom. And where did we leave off now? You were teaching us a lot about the Ageless Wisdom,
well,
Sarah and Dale.
Maybe at this point, we could try to sum up the whole subject by pointing to four essential concepts or postulates, as they're called, in the writings of Alice Bailey that she says really define the principles of the ageless wisdom so that our listeners will know what we're talking about. She says that the first essential principle of the ageless wisdom is the teaching that there exists in the manifested universe the expression of an energy or a life which is the responsible cause of all the diverse forms that compose the outer world of manifestation, that this great life is the basis of the doctrine of monism, which is a term for the belief that God is one. Probably our listeners are familiar with the saying that God is one. But when you really think that through and start to try to live your life by it, it is transformative. And this is the essential principle of the ageless wisdom, that behind the outer manifested world, there is one life. And this oneness is not easily recognizable because we're told our consciousness is so fragmented and so fixated and engrossed with the outer world of diversity and form. And that's why the spiritual disciplines of detachment and discrimination and perseverance are so important, because we have to prepare our consciousness in order to be able to perceive this one.
And if you think about it, the power of the one life to hold and all this whole world in manifestation at once, it's a very subtle power, but a very tremendously powerful power. If you really stop and think about it, the idea that there is one life, and each of us are fragments of that one life, and in this regards, you study the ageless wisdom teachings, and you see that if there is only one life, then life cannot be taken.
Right. Life is one, and naught can take or touch that life.
That's right.
It said.
No matter even at what we call death, life is not taken away.
No.
It just continues on in another phase.
It also touches on two aspects of, or two ways of understanding God or the Creator, that God is both immanent within every human being and literally within every fragment of the manifested world. That divinity is present at the cellular level. And God is transcendent, greater than and apart from the whole created world. And the Bhagavad Gita talks about that, having pervaded the entire universe with a fragment of myself, I remain. This is the expression of God, both immanent within the created world and transcendent of it. This is the one we're speaking about. The second postulate or concept of the ageless wisdom that is fundamental is that this one life manifesting through matter produces a third factor, which is consciousness. Life or spirit manifesting through matter produces consciousness, and this is known as the soul, the awareness of being both spirit and matter. And gradually the soul awakens. At the human stage, we have the awareness of being created by God, but also living within a physical world and part of that physical world.
Yes, and there's another aspect to that, because it's the one life that pervades all of these other kingdoms as well, not just the human kingdom, but it pervades the mineral kingdom and the vegetable kingdom and the animal kingdom. It's the same one life that works through a plant or an animal, that works through a human being.
Yeah, the mystery isn't just within the human experience, but within all those kingdoms.
Right, and there is also a certain degree of consciousness related to this, as the spirit enters and mingles with material substance, then this soul consciousness aspect arises, or it's actually the son, the father, the mother, and the son aspect that is produced from the coming together of the father and mother principles.
And the consciousness is appropriate to the particular level or kingdom. In fact, we're told in the writings of Alice Bailey that the vegetable kingdom on its own level and for its particular purposes is extremely developed and doing very well, thank you, in the evolutionary plan of God. The third postulate of the ageless wisdom is that the objective for which life takes form is the unfoldment of consciousness or the revelation of the soul. And this is the factor of light, that God takes form in the world through manifestation to produce light or awareness.
And that's the ultimate glory of God. When mm-hmm. they talk about the glory of God, that is what is meant by the irradiation of light coming, manifesting through form.
And Christ's statement that I am the light of the world is verification that the purpose of his birth was to bring light into the world. And the fourth principle or postulate of the ageless wisdom is the idea of periodicity or cyclic manifestation. What I'm getting at is that all lives on any plane manifest cyclically. They come and they go. They wax and they wane. Everything that lives on earth will die. Absolutely everything will that is present now will depart, speaking of the form level. And this realization is utterly good and beneficent in its purpose. The Bible touches on this, I think, Ecclesiastes, that says, to everything there is a season. And this is part of the plan. For most of us, it's a complete mystery. But death and rebirth, the coming and going in form, is part of this waxing of light.
And we shouldn't be too upset by the departure of certain forms on earth, because it's meant to be. They have reached their cycle, and just as every human being has a cycle to go through, we reach the end of the cycle, we die, we are reborn again at another time, and the cycle begins all over again. So it's one continuous process.
For anybody that's been intrigued by any of these concepts, there are various schools of training that focus on the ageless wisdom, and one of them is the Arcane School, which we conduct through our work in the Lucis Trust. It's a school of training in the ageless wisdom leading to a life of service. The books of Alice Bailey are focused on the whole foundation of the ageless wisdom, and we have plenty of information on those books. So if someone wants to make a study, that's two places where they can begin, the books and the school.
Okay, and also, once again, about the golden thread, which is an introduction, an overview of the ageless wisdom. It's available to you, and it's available from Lucis Publishing Company for $8, and that includes shipping and handling. Send your check or money order for $8 to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you'd like to order over the phone by credit card, call the Lucis Publishing Company, 212-292-0606. That's 212-292-0606. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.